What is he dissimulating from? What people? His people. He is dissimulating, he's separating himself from the whole Amalekite race of just utterly barbaric people. He's saying, oh, surely the sting of death is past. The bitterness of death is gone. It's like, you know, anybody who didn't know, like the people who judge today, they'd say, oh, what a fine fellow. No wonder Saul kept him alive. He's different than the rest of them. The rest of them are barbarians. This guy's well-spoken. He's courteous. He bowed. He recognizes authority. Do you see what I'm saying? He's dissimilar. And Samuel said, we were getting there. And said, no, good, it's good. As thy sword has made women childless, what's that say? Well, the practice, see, here's the interesting thing. Listen to this. When they would kill, they would rip, when the barbarians would kill, they would cut a pregnant woman open and make sure the child died. And cut a woman open, pull a child out and kill the child. They knew a lot more about prodigy than we do. That's why there's how many million abortions that go on every year in this country? Because Satan is still after God's seed. Okay, then go quickly to 1 Kings. Here we're going to see where dissimulation is at work. In Solomon's kingdom. And this has a lot of meaning. 1 Kings chapter 2. For those of you that don't know the story, Shimei was a Benjaminite. And when David's son Absalom took up a sword and took up a bunch of rebellious people to try and take over David's kingdom, David left the palace and was running, and he had a big host with him. And on his way out of the town, out of Jerusalem, Shimei, who was totally against David and against his family, against his house, David's house, against his kingship, Shimei sat up on a hill and was cursing him on his way out of town, throwing rocks and cursing the king. Joab wanted to go up there and cut his head off, and David said no. He said, the Lord's allowed him to do this. Leave him alone. So they leave. Absalom gets dealt with. They come back. And when he crosses, I think it was Kidron, when he crosses the creek and goes back into Jerusalem, because it's a day of rejoicing, and all the fighting was over, his son was dead, he was feeling like there's enough blood been shed, he didn't deal with Shimei. But David on his deathbed gives Solomon a couple of commands. One of the things he said, you know how Shimei cursed me and threw rocks at me. He said, don't let his gray hair go down to the grave in peace. He says, you'll know how to deal with him. Well, Solomon, when he takes over, first thing Solomon does is he deals with all the rebellious and he deals with all the political dangers to the kingdom. And those who lifted up their heel against David. So he brings Shimei in, and this is over in verse 35. Chapter 2, verse 36. And the king sent and called for Shimei. And he said, build you a house in Jerusalem and dwell there. And don't leave Jerusalem again. For it will be on the day that you go out and pass over the brook Kidron that you shall know for certain that you shall surely die. Your blood shall be upon your own head. So what Solomon tells this guy is basically you're under house arrest. You're under city arrest. The day that you leave the city, you're a dead man because of what you did and said to my father. Here's Shimei, verse 38. This is the dissimulation. And Shimei said unto the king, the saying is really good, my lord. For as the king has said, your servant will do. Now here's a man that hated the house of David. We don't have any idea. We don't have a clue. We do not understand what it takes in a man to sit on a hill and throw rocks at David and curse him back in that day. You could throw rocks at the president going down Grand. You'll get thrown in jail and locked away for many years, but you won't die. I mean, Hinkle shot President Reagan. He didn't even die for it. I mean, that's what a man would do if he wanted to commit suicide. If a man really wanted to leave this world, that's all he had to do. He could stand outside the gates and throw rocks at the wall and curse the king, they'd kill him. But that's a dissimulation. So, there's probably several other examples, but I think we have it. I think that gives it to us pretty clear. Is there any questions? Okay, good. Okay, I see your question. Okay, like for instance, the question is, what's the difference between dissimulation and or acting outside of the culture, your own culture? Is that correct?
Right.
The difference is the deceit. In other words, we all have the Adamic culture, don't we? We all have the Adamic nature. And we all have the Spirit of Christ. We all have the Jesus culture. The two are diametrically opposed. But because we were born and we were raised in our Adamic culture, in other words, we had to come to the place where we received the spirit of resurrection. We weren't given the spirit of resurrection at birth. We had to come to the place where we distinctly and intelligently recognized that we needed a Savior. The reason why people go to church and would consider themselves born again when they're not, they're born knowledgeably about Jesus, but they really don't have his spirit. Because they never come to a place where they realize they really needed a Savior. They grew up in the church, and the church brought them to a place where they said, you need to receive the Lord. And they gave him, and they've all gone through catechism. If you're a Catholic, or you go through whatever, Bible study, you go through schooling as a Protestant to realize you need to confess Jesus and you need to ask him to come into your heart. That's basically what we're being taught, right? But, and you've heard the testimony. How many of you here will say, saved as a child? Yeah. Saved as a child in church. But you didn't really know you needed a Savior. You had no idea or concept that you were dead in your sins, living in an Adamic nature, living in a nature that was condemned. You had no idea. And so you basically said a prayer. And I think that many of us have felt the presence. I felt the presence of the Lord when I was a child, as a Catholic. I felt the comfort of God. But that didn't keep me from, when I grew up, that didn't keep me from sin. It didn't. Having, knowing in my heart, believing that Jesus was who the Bible says he is and was who I was told he was, he died for the sins of the world, that didn't keep me from sin. I had to come to a place where my sins were exposed before me and I saw that I needed a Savior. I had to see Jesus and I had to see me. So dissimulation is when we see the two and we side with the one pretentiously or hypocritically or deceitfully. When we become dissimilar to who we are really. Now, this spirit lives in the church. I'd say this is one of the strongest, most deceitful spirits in the church. Because we are acting in a way that we think is acceptable, talking in a way that's acceptable, when really in our heart, that's not who we are. That's the spirit of dissimulation. Read it louder so I get it.
He says, we are of God. He that knows God hears us, and he that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Let's turn to that. It's 1 John 4:6. You will find 1 John 4:6. You will find that 1 John exposes. Hypocrisy and dissimulation all the way through it. Well, okay, I'll read that again, then I want to go to the front. We are of God, he that knows God hears us. Let me put it to you like this. He that knows God and does his own thing still hears us. All of us would say yes to that, right? He that is not of God does not hear us. In the church, he that is not of God does not hear me, but pretends that he does. And then hates me in his heart when it's over. Because what has happened when you walk up to somebody that you think is spiritual, we'll say, even in this ministry. You walk up to somebody you think is spiritual and you start speaking to them about the things that you see, what goes on. There's a volatile, maybe everything from a little tinge of the moving of the waters to lightning and thunder, somewhere between those two things happens, right? Now that's not dissimulation. That's just exposing that you're really not alike. But what follows may be. What follows is, oh, I see, I just didn't understand. Yes, I agree. This happened to all of us. Try to placate us. There's a word, alienation of sin. Make it lesser than it really is. Make it seem like you didn't understand. And, oh, I understand. Yes, I'm like that. That happened to me with a very famous man of God, his mother-in-law. I was having breakfast or a late night dinner with at PTL, and they came in, and I started telling them that the programs had been canceled because there was a real great little revival going on at PTL, and we were all involved in it, and that they suspended programming, and all the people that were scheduled to be guests on the program, me being one, were invited to be part of the move that was going on there on the ground, but that our particular TV time had been pretty much suspended. And this woman started bitching and complaining. We came up here and we thought that we were going to be, and we put our time apart. And I said, well, this is the Lord's doing, it's not ours and it's not theirs. And she goes, oh, well, yes, I know that. We're like that. We understand. She totally did an about face. It was total dissimulation. Trying to act like she didn't understand. Now she was like me. She was just like me. Oh, yes, we're just like that. And this very famous man of God just looked at his soup or whatever he was eating. He didn't say a word. He just bailed out of it. He wasn't going to say one thing or another. But let's look at this. It says, so, we are of God, hears us. We know that he hears us. He is not of God, does not hear us. And hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. And he doesn't say that here. What's he saying? He's saying, let us love without dissimulation. Let us love without hypocrisy. But I want you to go back, because let's look at chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life that was manifested, we have seen it and bear witness and show it unto you, that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us. Openly revealed to us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you might have fellowship with us, that there be no dissension between us. We have to give to you, and we would that you receive from us what we know to be true, that we can have communion. Communion does not happen in the culture of dissension. There's no communion. That's why we try to, in this ministry, we try to always give notice whenever the spirit of fellowship is with us versus the spirit of having a good time, so that we can know the difference between fellowship and communion, koinonia, eating and drinking of the Spirit of Christ in each other versus just communicating to one another.
Mm-hmm. You know,
started the meeting with him, that we, by the word of
God. Yes.
And, you know, I was speaking about Job 29, where it says, I was eyes to the blind, people were in the poverty, and I was pretty proud. So I thought of scripture in Proverbs 29. There's a couple of the scriptures in here. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his own feet. And then it says the scripture that came to me.
Flattery. Well, let me hold on. I'll let you read it, but let me just speak to that. Flattery and dissimulation are really very close together, because the spirit of flattery basically says that I really think you are great, and we are, you and me, we're the same. That's the whole spirit of dissimulation. Go ahead.
Hates his own life. He falls under the curse pronounced upon him who goes to the two years that disclose his mother. You know what?
What is that?
That part is 29:24.
That's great.
You know, who is the thief but the father of lies? I remember the first time I met Julian, I've never liked this, but I was watching a TV show with but I was really troubled when this person left my presence, because I felt a real mocking and scorning and dissimulation towards the poor and the needy. I mean, I think somebody would even commit suicide when this person was laughing and mocking. And, I mean, I didn't know Dean very well, and I didn't know this person very well, and I kind of freaked out because I felt so sick inside. It's like, you know, somebody's doing something wrong with the spirit of their mouth. But I had no idea what to do. And he was in Hawaii at the time, so I thought, well, I didn't know who Betty was. So I called and I talked to Betty. And I mean, I didn't tell Betty about it, but I called him and asked him what to do. And afterward, a prophet that came to me that said,
oh yeah, yeah, and that's idle words, and.
And you know, so and it was the first time I've ever talked to anybody. It was the first time I think I've ever done that in my life. And you know what the thought of my heart was? Gene doesn't know me. He's probably going to throw me in the trap. I mean, if I do this, I'm probably going to.
That's great. If I speak up, right. If I speak up, if I make a judgment here, I'm probably going to get put down for making the judgment.
But you know what? I didn't have any excuse before it all.
Look at the very next scripture. That's 29 what, honey?
29:24.
Yes, the very next scripture, because I wanted to talk about this. I'm so glad you brought it up. Verse 25 says, the fear of man causes dissimulation.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that, but it says it brings a snare. But he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be saved.
Yeah.
Who are we trying to please here?
Yeah.
Who is putting the bread and butter on your table? If you think it's you and your boss, you're mistaken. Jesus Christ is putting the bread on our table. The fear of man is what we all have to face. Because hypocrisy, dissimulation, flattery, all of these things come from the fear of man, or comes from covetousness and greed. There's only one reason why Saul did not put Agag to death. One reason only, and what might that be? Because there was something that he thought he could gain from keeping him alive. There was something that he thought he was going to gain. That's the only reason you keep the ruler of the barbarians alive, is because of covetousness and greed.
Yeah, you know what?
Yes.
I realized I had an obligation to find out what was loose. Now, I
yes.
I didn't understand it, but my soul was telling me
yes.
that to find out.
Well, you'd seen the ruination of keeping things hid.
Yeah, really, that, to me, that's the definition of wickedness. You know what we're going to be guilty of wickedness and indifference that we refuse to find out that somebody else knew that we wanted.
That's right.
Did not love our brother.
That's right. Go ahead.
There's another one in Proverbs 26:24. It says, he that hates the son that should be just lays up the feet of injustice. When he speaks fair, believe it not, the seven abominations in his heart. His hatred is covered by deceit, and wickedness is shown before the congregation. And there's a number in the back, it's 3335. That has the same relation.
3335 in your chain. The dissimulation. What were you going to say, Linda? And that, yes, and see that's the dissimulation. Is that Saul and Agag were very much alike. And that's why when Saul talks to Samuel, oh, blessed of the Lord, welcome, I've done what you said. Saul wasn't much different. When you realize that Saul was trying to kill through a javelin at David at the king's supper, and some of the things that Saul did, he wasn't much more than, he wasn't too many rungs above a barbarian. So there...
Couldn't you say that the simulation is kind of like saying, acting like a familiar
thing? Yes.
Familiar thing of the
day. Yes. The simulation is acting like you're free from something that you're not free from. Because, okay, so who are you? What really are you? Why is that dissimulation? Right, because you're really one way saying that you're another. And you know what? If we could see the Spirit, that's why we don't get set free. I believe Peter was really sorry what he did with Jesus, but he didn't really get enough understanding to that spirit to be free from it. And Paul loved him enough and had enough going for him that he was willing to stand in Peter's way. And I'll guarantee you, probably, I don't know that this is true, but I think that probably after Peter got done thinking about that, he probably never did it again. That was probably the final straw. The reason we get caught up in the same things is because we don't really take the time to get understanding to what we're doing and why we do it. And we're not looking spiritually. We're not really spiritual. We may, I could ask for a show of hands, but I'm sure that there's many in here that have dissented, have basically agreed with some of the judgments made about you, but in your heart you haven't. See, that's dissension. That's really agreeing with your own position against the judgment that you even said you're sorry for. And what ends up happening when you do that? Who is the one that you hate? The one who's speaking to you. Who's the one that you have, you know, built up offenses in? It's the ones that's speaking to you. And, you know, even if they're wrong, you know what? You're not justified. You're not justified because you didn't say anything. We consent with the thief that's inside of us. First, right there, yes. A lying tongue hates those afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. That's Proverbs 26, beginning with verse 24 down through the end. He that hateth dissembleth. And really, what it says in the margin is disguises it. Actors and actresses. We all could get picked for a Hollywood movie for the things that we're putting over on each other.
I thought about, when you started talking, I thought about this one in particular, but then I found another one.
Okay, what is it?
It's a piece I put when you go to the house of God. And those arms is, do not wrath with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. And I was thinking about
it. Okay, that's more or less idle words. Okay. That's all right, that's fine. That could be categorized under idle words. What's the other one?
The other one was
great. I think the bottom line here is one more. You know, let me just expose another spirit that works hand in hand with dissension, and that's control. The reason I say that is that when you are under that spirit of dissension, when you are for dissimulation, excuse me. I've been saying dissension, I mean dissimulation. When you're under that spirit of dissimulation, we've said that fear, the fear of man, or greed and covetousness are the three strong motivations. Fear of man, greed, and covetousness are three strong spiritual motivations for dissimulation. Fear makes you become the chameleon. It's a chameleon factor. Greed makes you become a chameleon. Covetousness makes you become a chameleon, so you'll gain favor. Now, control is the other one. Control, the one who is dissimilar, the one who won't speak up when inside they disagree. Inside, they're not in agreement, but they won't speak up. They can say, well, I'm afraid. They can say, I don't want people to think I don't love them. They can say whatever. Or they can say, I'm afraid of my own anger. But you know what it is? It's control. Or they'll never listen to me. It's control. And the reason it's control is because here's how you have to judge it. If I speak up and they won't agree, how does that make me feel? In other words, I'm unwilling to speak up unless they'll agree. That's control. Well, the Lord has, yeah, we wouldn't think that. We just don't see the Lord in it at all. Now, I know we're kind of psychoanalyzing this, but what I'm really trying to do is get you to look at basically four spirits. Covetousness, which is a little different than greed. Greed's full-blown, covetousness is deceitful. Fear is something that all of us have to deal with. Fear says a lot of things. Fear says, I don't believe that Jesus is my provider. He's not my provider. He's not my defender. You see what I'm saying? He won't defend me and he won't provide for me. Therefore, I'm going to acquiesce. I'm going to dissent. I'm going to dissimulate. I'm going to act different than I really am inside. This is a cancer, a spiritual cancer, that you will never... Here's the big one. The biggie is there's no blood shed over your dissension. How can he forgive you for something that you won't admit and confess with the intention to forsake? If you are dissenting, if you are dissimulating, if you are dissenting from speaking, if you are taking a lower position because of fear, greed, covetousness, or control, they won't listen to me, whatever. You have just put your disagreement, which may be even right, may be wrong. At this point, it doesn't matter because it's going into a cage, which is going to work on you and create unforgiveness, hatred, could create murder. You may never say, you may say, I don't have murder, but you may not murder them, but in your thoughts, you will. And you certainly won't love them. You certainly won't trust them. There won't be a sweet spirit of fellowship ever between you. All you'll ever be able to do is be pretentious. Even if you try, you'll always have that, those unresolved issues locked away. And you may say, but, you know, how can I get them all out? They're never going to agree. You know what? If I have something that I don't think leadership will agree with, or I don't think God will agree with, I get rid of it. I mean, you can do that. You can dump it. You can dump your ideas and your garbage and your... You can dump it. You can start over. You cannot make it an issue. If you're willing to, you can do that. But it's control. What were you going to say? That's dissimulation. Where is that?
That was Proverbs 6, verse 19.
Look, hold on before you go on. Proverbs.
Proverbs 6, if you're snared by the words of your mouth, run. Right. A worthless person, a wicked man, if he goes about with a perverse, contrary, wayward mouth, lives with his eyes, he speaks by shuffling or tapping his feet, he makes signs to mislead and deceive people with his fingers. Willful and contrary in his heart, he divides trouble, vexation, evil continually. He lets loose discord and shows it.
Where's that?
That's verse 14.
Wait a minute. You're reading out of the Amplified, and the reason I'm saying wait a minute is because the King James has some different wording, and I want to be able to speak to it. Okay, go ahead. What were you going to say? Speak up.
You have to practically convince them that he's not their father. They don't die because he doesn't live. I was thinking about a woman who died recently who feared everything but the Lord. She loved her own life, never told the truth, never got involved. And I was thinking about how the memory of the, you know, if Proverbs 31 says, a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. And you know, I called one of the women up and prayed them because they actually got involved with another woman's life, an older woman, to help her see what she's sown with her mouth, to put a stop to that. And you know, to me, that's the fear of the Lord. You know, the problem is, if we fear the Lord, we're going to be careful how we hear people, and we're going to love them to get involved. And you know, I was thinking of the worthless life. Really, when we don't get involved in a brother's life, we're going to let them say whatever they want and so discord and so trapped into their own soul and eat all kinds of junk.
Well, let me just say, I had a dream. I had a dream once of Joe. You remember this? I had a dream we're on a ministry trip. This was several years ago. I had a dream we're on a ministry trip and we stopped. It was somewhere in Utah. I'd been there before, only it wasn't quite like the stop that we stopped at. And I had my van and we stopped. We've been driving all day and it was into the night. And we stopped and it was putting gas in it, and they had this kind of patio, covered patio, with a concrete deck. And when I got out of the van, I saw that there was no railing at the end of the patio. And it was dark. And the patio was a sheer cliff drop. The end of the patio was a sheer cliff. It dropped for hundreds of feet. Joe got out of the van. And this is the way Joe used to be. I mean, he was just somewhere else, no judgment, walked, hands in his pocket, was walking around, walked right off the edge. This Joe Winterman, walked right off the edge to his death. I woke up, that thing really bothered me. Think I sat on that one? No way. I talked to Joe as if he had done it. And I will not let stuff like that sit. We are our brother's keeper. And when, now this may open our eyes to a whole new dealing. I mean, everybody who's hearing this tonight, you're under a new obligation. You can't sit and watch David just go on down the road. You can't do that. You may say, well, I can't stop him. No, you can't, but you can speak to him. This goes with every one of us. We now have our eyes open to that spirit. And the only reason that you won't speak to your brother and sister with what you see or hear is if you are walking in darkness yourself. So, you know what? Double indemnity. God does. We are, you know, double indemnity may not be legal in our constitution, but it is in God's. Every time you do the same thing, it's added judgment. And there will be several different ways. If you withhold speaking truth to your sister or your brother when you hear or see, you're not only going to be guilty for what you didn't say to them, you're going to be held guilty for yourself. That's double indemnity. Twice for the same thing. Speak up. Barnabas too, yeah. And both of them were his elders. Both of them. You know, if you read it, it says Barnabas and Paul, when they first went out, then it was Paul and Barnabas. But that's a good point. Where was that scripture, Joe, that you read? That was out of Proverbs 29, the first one? Well, he's helping us already by showing us. Yes, it's why it's coming up. What is that, Joe? 29 what? Okay, that's fine. 26? Okay, through 20. Proverbs 26, 24 through 26. I want to get these on the tape. I want to get these scriptures on the tape so we can get them.
Let's loosen the bands of wickedness, undoing the heavy burdens. You know, all the promises are in there. I was eyes to the blind, I was feet to the lame, the cross. You know, that's what Jesus says. It's the same measure we love our brother, we see God deliverance in our life.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. If you won't be willing to get involved in somebody else's life, why? What is going to have you make you have ears when God gets involved in yours? What? Right. We gave all that. Right.
One true motive stopped by pretense. speaking or acting hypocritically.
Okay.
I was thinking about when you were talking about vanity a few weeks ago. And this falls into three categories of vanity.
Yes. Yeah, it does. It's connected with being vain. Yes. What's your scripture?
You're talking about the devil and vanity.
Yes.
It says, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his way to save
yes.
life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your
hand. Yes, that's double indemnity. Ezekiel what?
3:18.
Okay. I know there's. Okay.
I think.
Leviticus 19:17. Read that.
It says, "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him."
Yes. We've had this for years. Okay. But now maybe some of it's... Peter had it for years, too. Okay? Were you going to say something? Okay. Anybody else? What? What? Okay, go ahead. Give me this one on...
In the Amplified, it says, "You shall incur sin because you refuse to rebuke your brother." And
this is Leviticus 19:17.
And it gives three references, Galatians 6:1, 1 John 2:9 through 11, and 1 John 3:15.
Okay, that's Galatians 6:1, 1 John 2:9 through 11, and 1 John 3:15. That's good. I think that's sufficient on the scriptures for dissimulation. And speaking the truth to each other, not hiding and not trying to pretend that we're some way that we're not. Okay. I think that's good enough for tonight.